So we do have at this point, sometimes some of the younger ones are like, I'm going to go down for children's church. Some are going to stay up with us. But I'm going to start by sharing with you the trailman's oath from Trail Life. You may have seen it out on the poster as you came in. But the trailmen all learn the oath, which is this: on my honor, I will do my best to serve God and my country, to respect authority, to be a good steward of creation, and to treat others as I want to be treated. I know those guys in the back know it. And the motto, what's the motto? Two words. Walk worthy. Thank you. I can hear those guys in the back who walk worthy from Colossians 1:10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. As I said in prayer time, I'm grateful to our Trail Life troop members, families, those who are here every week, our special guest today. If you're not familiar, Trail Life is a scouting program for boys and their fathers and their families that was founded in 2013. The vision of Trail Life is to be the premier national character development organization for young men, which will produce godly and responsible husbands, fathers, and citizens. The mission is to guide generations of courageous young men to honor God, lead with integrity, serve others, and experience outdoor adventure. I think that's a group whose ideals certainly align with this current sermon series that we're in the middle of, talking about faithful families. And a very descriptive line on our own troop. Our own troop is OH2406, and they have a Facebook page that says this. The troop's page says, Psalm 24, we are building generations of men as sons and fathers with kingdom values. And I think you see the same thing in the particular sermon title for this morning, Faithful Families Impart Biblical Values. And I'm going to work backwards through those three words this morning. So we'll start on the far right with values. What are values? Weight. Worth. I thought I'd give you, I'll reach in here if I give you a couple bills from what I have. We'll take that one and this one. So if I offer you a choice of the two bills, I don't know if you can see it, but I give you, here's what, 20? Here's a single. Here's one. And I just hold them out to you and say, just pick one. I'll have Denise. Pick one. You know, which of the two are you most likely, most people would probably take this one, all right? Because it has more worth, it has more value. Values, a list of principles, things we think are important, everyday life. If you think of value, you think of worth, something that's worth a lot. A lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort. I don't know if we're getting older now. Some will remember the old Hoosiers movie, Gene Hackman, coach. He is, in this scene, enduring a gymnasium full of withering stares. He has just made the statement, my team is on the floor. And what has happened is they're down. One player has fouled out, and so the kid that was on the bench right there assumes he's going back in, and coach says, sit down. And the ref comes over and goes, coach, you only have four. He goes, my team's on the floor. And the whole gymnasium is just aghast at this. He's not letting that kid in. And if you know the scene, it's because of what he values. And Ray there, who's been benched, has just been coming down the floor and chucking it up. And he's been scoring. He's been making buckets. But coach has taught them what? Five passes. We want five passes. And he wasn't abiding by what the coach valued, so he has been benched. And if you know the movie, the team will go on to win a whole bunch of games. But they had to buy into what he valued and how we're going to get there. And when you see the first slide that we have from Trail Life, I think some of the values would probably be listed right there on the bottom. Adventure, character, leadership. What we value. That's what we want boys to be prepared in and for as they're going to go out in the world. So that's the question to start is, what do you value? What would your family say you value? What would your coworkers or your neighbors say is important to you? And always as a point of reference for us this morning is going to be the Old Testament situation that unfolds in Joshua chapter 3. I'm just going to keep this open, kind of reference to it. Joshua 3, God has led the people of Israel through to the promised land, and the Jordan River stands between them and the promised land, and it is raging at flood stage. And throughout this whole journey, the priests have always been carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And there will be a scene here where the priest will be standing now in the middle of what is a miraculously dried up riverbed, holding the Ark of the Covenant. And then I just see a little kid, I see one of the little Trail Life guys walking by and going, man, that thing must be important. Because we take it everywhere. You know, we keep this gold box, and here we are in the middle of a river, and it's with us. Yeah. Now, talking about values, does it matter a whole lot if people disagree or have different values? And there's a sliding scale on this, I know. Like controlling weeds in your flower beds. Some people have different values on that. And even people who say, yeah, I want to do it, that's important, I'm one of those. We might have different values on how we do it. You know, am I a Roundup? You know, I get down and pull them all out. I invest in a barrier or a blanket or something. Different values, we don't have to agree. You know, we don't have to agree on make or model of car. I'm assuming there are a number of different makes in the parking lot as I speak. Ways that we save money, things that we invest in, how many trips we take, where we want to go. You know, do we have the same values? No, it doesn't really matter. Stephen Covey said this in his book, The Eighth Habit. Values are social norms. They're personal, emotional, subjective, arguable. All of us have values. He said, criminals have values. The question you have to ask is, are my values based on any principles? And in the early part of Joshua, these early chapters, it'd be a good place to read this week. They are here, like I said, on the border of the promised land. They have spent 40 years wandering and waiting in the desert. Now, are they just going to waltz into the promised land? No, they're not, because there's already a bunch of people living there. And those people are real comfortable. And do they have the exact same values? No. Does it matter? Here's an image from a headline that was in 06. NBC removes biblical content from VeggieTales. The article was this. Those who know about these kinds of things say you should never microwave your vegetables because doing so removes all the nutritional value. Well, apparently nobody explained this to the television executives at NBC. In 2006, NBC added VeggieTales, which is a very popular, albeit thoroughly Christian, cartoon, to its Saturday morning lineup. But Bob the Tomato and Larry the Cucumber got nuked. Many of the pertinent references to God and Scripture were deleted from each episode. Initially, NBC said, well, those cuts are made simply as a way to fit into a very tight 23-minute window. As Christians began to investigate that, it becomes very clear, oh, there's a little more to the story. And after being pressured by several organizations to explain its leaching of biblical content, NBC had this statement. NBC is committed to the positive messages and universal values of VeggieTales. Our goal is to reach as broad an audience as possible with these positive messages while being careful not to advocate any one religious point of view. To which Phil Vischer, who was one of the co-creators, expressed his disappointment at the edit. He says, it's a mistake to pitch VeggieTales as just values. Fundamentally, it is about God. And Bob Bozell, who is president of Parents Television Council, he said, today, no one in network TV fears what the kids are watching, unless it makes them think about God. You know? So that concept. Would such a removal of material matter? I think we would say yes. You know, this is the same reason that Trail Life was founded as an alternative scouting program in 2013. To uphold biblically rooted values. The grand old preacher, Charles Spurgeon, way back, he said this, visit many good books, but live in the Bible. So that's this phrase, I'm moving backwards into the middle, biblical. Biblical values. How many times will a believer share something along the lines, hey, there is a heaven and there's a hell. I believe it. There's an afterlife. And I would like to spend mine with God in his glory. So I'm going to look to the Bible and value that to give me direction on how to get there. And at the same time, those same people will be saying, I want my kids, I want my parents, I want my coworkers to experience joy, peace, rest, safety, protection. And I believe God's word speaks to contemporary situations. And I'm going to value what it says about day to day, even in a very broken world. Because of the track record of the Bible, because of very commendable examples of some Christian people I know, I'm going to side with Jesus. I'm going to pick the Bible as opposed to some of the newer cultural values. And you know this, we can and we will stand out as different when we choose to stand up for biblical values. One of the songs Colton Dixon sings, current song, Build a Boat, if you can remember. Build a boat. Every word you say is going to come true. You will lead me to the promised land. Everything you say is going to happen, even though I haven't seen it yet. I think this is the chorus. I will build a boat in the sand, where they say it never rains. I will stand in faith. I will do anything it takes. With your wind in my sails, your love never fails or fades. I'll build a boat in the desert place. He says, I'll build a boat, so let it rain. And obviously that song is based in a reference to Noah and his family. Did Noah's values differ greatly from some of his neighbors? Yes. And I'm pretty sure he heard about it. That's kind of a grainy little picture, but there's people laughing at him for a long time until it started to rain. It's the same concept as Daniel and his friends as young men having a different value from others. And they said, you can test it, test our theory, grade us after 10 days, see how it stacks out. The whole impetus when that man's older of Daniel winding up in the lion's den is because some people had some different values from Daniel. And they knew that the only way you're going to get him out is that something has to do with his God. We can get him on that praying to only his God thing because he had a different value. Was Jesus ever mocked or questioned about what he taught or did? Numerous times. People had different values. Same thing holds true today, right? One of the most intensely contested arenas today's culture would be public school and university. And you could go stand on this corner at Ohio State doing a fall, I think they're out, you know, or you could stand on the Oval somewhere and just speak biblical truth about gender or sexuality, things outside of marriage. See how long it takes before somebody with an opposing value makes comment. And the term is biblical values, and I know how broad that is. Because somebody's going to say, okay, what are the biblical values that I need to pass on to my family and my friends? Are you talking like salvation and grace and peace? Yes. Somebody else say, values, I thought that'd be more along like honesty, integrity, kindness, modesty, resilience. Yes. What about the Holy Spirit? All the fruit, all that he provides. Forgiveness, in there somewhere. Yes, 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 yes to all of the above. Biblical values, my thoughts, my opinions, my attitude on a whole host of subjects impacted by the Bible, every aspect of my life, I hope. And my coworkers might not agree with this. Our grandkids may not see eye to eye with us. But I'm following Jesus and my values are rooted in the Bible. So how do I impart these values? Because it doesn't just happen. Okay, that's the point of this. To impart means to give, to convey, to make known. Craig and I and the other coaches, we do not just go to practice and sit over on the side and play cards and eat cake. Well, the girls are training. And you come and say, what are you doing? Oh, they'll figure it out. No. Well, we give input, probably more than they want. No, because we are going to try to impart, give, convey, make known what we know of the game and what we want them to do. So should parenting or grandparenting or Christian coworker passing on my faith, should that be any different? So I settled, I didn't put A, B, C, D, but if you had space, I got four on this list. Modeling is first. It's kind of been the core of this sermon series. You've heard it before. You've seen 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. What is a dad? What is a dad who's been on his teen drivers about speeding? What is he modeling or imparting as he's stopped and they're in the back seat and the officer's at the window because he's been doing, say, 46 in a school zone? You know, what am I modeling? You know, in this Joshua 3 setting, Joshua's a leader. He's always out front. And if you remember, he and Caleb, they're the only two old men in camp by a lot, because their generations died out in the desert. So there's a lot of people looking at him. He's different. He's a model of what he knows is true. Verse 7 of Joshua 3, and the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Because God knows people are going to be watching this guy, and they're going to see what he models. I always appreciate it. Like, I'll usually like buzz through a Trail Life meeting on a Monday night if I'm doing something else, and I like seeing the dads and the granddads who are modeling, you know, and just, and they'll be saying, like, you know, the same knots I'm teaching you, they still serve me well later in life. The skills that we're trying to impart to you, I use them every day. You know, and the key here would be that the same dads and the same grandfathers are modeling like marriage by the way they treat their spouse. And if you remember, if you were here the first week of the series, I referenced an article by a Tyler McKenzie. It will arrive for you if you're in Flock Notes tomorrow at noon. If you're not a part of that, you could scan the QR code on the cards in the pews, or if you say, just give me the paper, it's out on the table. You know, but the article's, it's just two pages, not long. It's about intentionality. He says, we all model something. What am I choosing? These are Tyler McKenzie's words. I have three young children, ages 7, 4, and 2. With each passing milestone, my desire to see them grow in Christ deepens. As the pastor of a church made up of largely young families, I have found this to be a desire that many parents share. However, I've also found this same parents feel just as strongly that they're doing a bad job at it. And when I ask them what the problem is, their answer is always the same. Tyler, I just don't know how. I ain't buying it. That's what he writes next. In my observation, parents show a high level of competency in forming their kids to do all sorts of things. He says, my 7-year-old boy loves baseball. I'm not bragging, but we've already wrapped up the South Oldham Fall Coach Pitch Championship. Yes, he's only 7. Yes, we keep score. Yes, I'm reliving my glory days vicariously through him. Stop judging me. Having gotten our feet wet at local Little League, I have been stunned at how intentional the fathers of Oldham County are at teaching their boys baseball. Now, if you ask them to be intentional about God, for many of them, it's shoulder shrugs and, I don't know. Guys, I ain't buying it. You may not know the Bible that well. You may not have a degree in youth ministry, but you know how to form your kid. I've seen it with my own eyes. He said, you have invested thousands of dollars in travel ball, hundreds of hours playing catch in the yard, going to practice, attending summer camp. Bed sheets and PJs are emblazoned with balls and bats and gloves. Don't tell me you don't know how to be intentional. Instead, imagine what we might do if we invested all that into our kids' spiritual formation. And he said, it's across the board, like we always say. Same thing with basketball, music, theater, dance, robotics, gymnastics, to name a few. We know how to keep our kids busy with an array of activities. The parents in my city want to be intentional. I've seen it. They know how to deploy their resources to make sure the kid is disciplined, trained, and formed. And Tyler McKenzie said, if you ask me what's one thing you want to get right, I would tell you that when my kids fly the nest, I want to be able to say, I made it a primary ambition to lead my kids toward Jesus. I want to be able to say, when it came to parenting, I got it right. Not perfect, right. I put in the time, I spent the money. I took them to church. Their eternity was the priority. And there's more to that article you can read, but that's the gist. A very big step in intentionally sharing my faith is I got to try to model it. Another one, B, I got to try to use examples. Hopefully I'm using my own example. If not, I better find a good example. When I was wanting to impart soccer technical ability to the boys, use my own example. Golf swing, not so much. Find a better example. Not mine. If you want to impart forgiveness as a value, that is a great value and as a perfect verse, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. That's a great teaching. If you want an example, well, I might go back to Genesis like 45, and let's read about how Joseph is actually forgiving all of his big brothers. You know, in the Joshua 3 passage that we're talking about, verse 14 and following, the priests have to be the model. They got to set the example. Because that river is flood stage, and somebody has to be first. Somebody has to go put their foot in it. And they'll pull stones out from the middle, flat, smooth stones, as reminders. An example. This is how God led us, chapter 4, verse 6, so that when the future little trailmen in the next generation say, hey, Dad, where did we get these real smooth rocks? From the middle of the riverbed. Let me tell you a story. It's an example. You know, Trail Life wanting to teach knots. Here's an example, right? Paper. Lashing. Here's an example. Hands-on. Cooking over a fire. I know, you know. You're not going to take 20 hungry boys out in the woods for 3 days and then just talk about it. You better have some food available as an example. Here's what your own little foil dinner tastes like. You know? If I'm going to impart it, I want to bring it up often. And I would ask the regular folks, what hobbies do I value? And you would say golf, soccer, photography. If I say, what restaurants do I value? You're going to say Raising Cane's, Skyline, Texas Roadhouse. How do you know that? Because I keep bringing them up, all right? Over and over and over. And here's a downside for like longevity. I don't always do a great job of accommodating the new faces, teaching how we do stuff, because I'm just used to it, right? Flock notes, how's it work? Offering, how do we do that? Communion, I've done it, some of it I use every day. We do it repeatedly. Somebody new would say, hey, you want me to know about that? You better bring it up more than just once a year. And back to the effort that we started with on this list of modeling, living it out, being an example. If you've been here for all three of the previous, or two or one, any of the other messages in this series, you're like, we go over that every time. Yeah, I keep bringing it up. Well, a constant reminder. It's an important value. Constantly renewing, refreshing, thespians, stage people, musicians, how they do it. How they memorize, there's just pages and books of lines and notes and directions and formations. It's repetition. Joshua 1, verse 8 said, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You know, our Saturday morning Bible study guys, I think we all really enjoyed this Revelation series by Dr. Shane Wood from Ozark Christian College. It's 11 sessions, they're about 15 minutes each. The home builders class across the foyer, they're going to start it today. I've got notes for today's leadership meeting. I want to take my class through probably in the fall. I think we're going to have like a sermon series in September of about 4 sermons, try to consolidate some of it. But then after church like this, when we go to class, we'll go into the first, second, third, through the 11 sessions. Yeah. So with that being said, there's potential for some of those Saturday morning guys to go through it three times. Right? They went through it at Bob Evans. They could go through it across the hall. They could go through it in here in the fall. It's repetition. This is like our revelation season. You know, it's like we'll go through it enough times that hopefully we can all remember. Jesus teaching parables. What subject is most common? Finances. 11 out of 39 stories, 28% are about money. He brings it up a lot. What values am I trying to impart? How often do I bring it up? Here's the last one. Push people out of their comfort zone. I don't generally advocate pushing people. You know what I mean, right? This Joshua 3 situation, it's a challenge. God's like, I want you to cross a river. And I keep saying raging river. I'll give you about 10-second video just so you can actually see what the Jordan, that's the Jordan at flood stage. Okay, so that's literally what they're looking at. And somebody has to be first to step into that. You know, that's not comfortable for most people. Now, in that account, as soon as they do, God will miraculously dam up the water at a distance, and they'll go through on dry ground. But that's not comfortable. I love the story of Gideon's guys, Judges 7, verse 16. Okay, men, we're going to take on the Midianite army, 300 of us, against 135,000 of them. We get that number from the math in chapter 8, verse 10. Our odds are 450-1. And we're going to issue you your warfare supplies, and all the guys pass through, and he gives them a trumpet and a torch and a pitcher, an empty clay pot. And they all go, what? Talk about being put out of your comfort zone. Jesus did this all the time with the disciples. Luke 9, 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If the people don't welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. I think they were out of their comfort zone. I believe that our sons, our family, pretty much everybody from this church who's ever been down to Haiti will say, you're out of your comfort zone. You know, that bus ride from Port-au-Prince is eye-opening for everybody. You know, but faith lessons are learned down there. You know, I don't know that we're headed back to Haiti anytime soon with politics. Actually, Denise and I have some paperwork at home right now for Africa. Where there's a girl that we sponsor. If you want to go on that trip with us, you can check on going over there for a couple weeks. And you don't have to travel the globe to step out of your comfort zone. You can go down to Newark, Vertical 196, help people that have needs. You can go with Chick and others who serve at Heartbeats. You could visit folks in local nursing homes, convalescent centers. That's across the street from the hospital where Skip was. You could be a substitute teacher. You know, I was thinking about health issues as we age. You know, talking about stepping out of your comfort zone, that's a literal uncomfortable thing. Am I going to model biblical values when it hurts? Am I going to challenge my kids, adult kids, Christian friends? Hey, why don't you take a stand for biblical values at work, whether it be abortion, sexual identity, gender issues? Oh, they're going to be out of their comfort zone. Yeah. I think Joshua would say amen to those efforts. Here's Joshua. He sees the priests in the riverbed, and he sees all the people crossing, and they're going into the promised land, and he's thinking, we're trying to impart godly values to this generation. And if you remember how Joshua ends up, how does the book close that bears his name? You know, his challenge. It's a familiar verse. I was visiting somebody Thursday, and it was on the clock, on the face of the clock in the room where we were visiting. You know, My neighbors next door when I was growing up, I can still remember Mr. and Mrs. Bowers had this on their door knocker. Joshua 24:15 is the verse on the screen. In 14, he says, fear the Lord and serve him. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I'm confident that's the same goal for all of our faithful families. Whether I'm pushing somebody out of their comfort zone, I keep bringing up biblical values, I'm using other examples, trying to model it myself. Those are all efforts to impart biblical values. Let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we continue to thank you for your word that has endured. We are grateful for the models and examples of those who have been faithfully living truth in our lifetime, in our formative years, walking beside us when it was politically or culturally challenging to do so. We pray that we would be willing to be that group now that works to impart those same values to those who are coming up behind us. Father, we pray that we would be intentional about our efforts. There is a cost that is draining, can be discouraging. Well, Father, is also most important, as this is what will endure through to eternity. We pray that you will strengthen us with new resolve today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.